What do you do when your spouse suddenly ups and leaves? That's what we're talking about today, folks. Welcome to the Uncivilized Podcast. My name is Trevor Boehm, founder of the Uncivilized Movement, the Uncivilized Nation, and author of the books Man Uncivilized and Today I Rise. My mission is to change the way 1 million men express their masculinity by combining the primal and the divine. And every once in a while, I do talk about divorce, heartbreak, and breakup. As you can tell by the title of this episode, I'm going to dive back into a couple years ago in my professional career when I did write the book Today I Rise, which was all about using the pain of a divorce or a breakup to radically up-level and transform your life. Now, this question was submitted by a wonderful person on Instagram who wrote, "What would you do, or how is it?" This was the question she asked. We're talking about men. How is it that a man slash husband can have an affair on his wife, move on with his life, leaving her in the pits of hell without any remorse? How can a guy do that? And I actually went back and forth chatting with her a little bit, and we both really came to the point of, who cares? It doesn't matter how anybody can do this, man or woman. There's a million reasons why someone can do this, but why should we spend our time and energy thinking about that when we can spend our time and energy thinking, how do we move forward? How do we move on from this? And so let's dive into this, folks. Let's talk. And again, I'm gonna use her situation. I know a lot of you guys listening to this are men, and a lot of you listening to this have had spouses that up and disappeared. I am one of them. You know, my wife or ex-wife did not have an affair that I'm aware of, but she did give me an hour's notice that she was leaving the marriage and poof, was gone. And I think she was remarried very quickly after. So this question has some history for me, or has some affect on me. So let's dive into it. First and foremost, I think we have to look at, where are you in this situation? If this just happened, then you are in crisis. And I think we get to say that. We get to actually say out loud, you are in crisis. And sorry if you hear any noises coming around here. I'm live in New York. I'm recording this outside. I'm not in the elite Colorado studio. I'm visiting my buddy Jim, and I'm chilling on his back porch. So apologize if there's noise. But let's get back to it. If this is happening, this is a major deal. This is crisis. Like, your world just got turned upside down. This is no different than getting a cancer diagnosis, or somebody close to you dying, somebody close to you getting very sick, getting fired, going bankrupt. Like, this is a big freaking deal. So I think let's start with the frame that we're going to acknowledge that. But this isn't like, well, you know, kind of bad, blah, blah, blah. It's this thing that happened. It's not. It's a major life change where yesterday everything that was true about your life is no longer true. And that needs to be acknowledged. So if you are in that place, here's some advice for you. Get some help immediately. Get some therapy, go to a men's group, go to a women's group, go to a support group, go to your church, get good people around you, be talking to them every day. Do not drink, do not date, do not try to have sex to get over this, do not start picking up heroin or any other drugs in your life. Eat well, sleep well, work out, have goals, realize you will get through this, and lean on everybody around you. Here's a specific thing that will help you get through this. Set up phone call dates every single day of the week. Just reach out to your friends and say, "Hey, man, do you mind if on Thursday, 8 p.m., I give you a call?" And then the next day, set it up for Friday. "Hey, Susan, on Friday, do you mind if at 2 p.m. I give you a call?" Then you got something to look forward to every day. Then you've got some humans that you're talking to. Then your calendar doesn't look so blank. Then this giant hole in your life gets filled with a little bit of connection, and you have a feeling of belonging. Okay, so that's how, like, you got to realize if this happened yesterday or last week or 2 weeks ago or a month ago, you're still in crisis mode. Now, what happens a year from now? What happens 2 years from now? What happens when you should, in quotes, be over this, but you're not over it? One, heartbreak has no timeline. I'm not a big fan of the, like, well, it's 1 month for every year that you're together. Fuck that shit. That's a load of spiritual bypassing nonsense. It's not. People grieve for years. People grieve for decades. And I think you get to do that depending on where you are. But what do you do to get through this? Here are some tried and true steps. One, you have a practice of letting go, right? You have a practice where every day you're like, okay, I'm going to wish them well. I'm going to just wish this away. I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to let this go. I'm going to acknowledge this part of my story. And I'm going to emotionally and spiritually try to turn the page to the next story, right? Just like I don't wish I was a 22-year-old college water polo player. I don't wish I was a 32-year-old professional MMA fighter. I don't wish I was a 35-year-old gym owner anymore. And I actually don't wish I was still married to my ex. I'm not lying around thinking about that. But that was a practice, right? It takes effort. It takes actually being conscious to say, hey, when I do think about her, I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to let that thought go. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to dive into it. I'm not going to ruminate on it. I'm just going to use it like it's a balloon, and I'm just going to release it. That's step one. Every day you may have to do that. You may have to do that over and over and over. Now here's step two, and here's the biggie, right? Christina Rasmussen says, grief is like a waiting room. When you're in grief, you're stuck in this waiting room. And I remember getting divorced and feeling like I was living underwater when everybody else was like floating by and I wasn't. But eventually, folks, male, female, however you identify, however old you are, however long the relationship was, whether they cheated, whether they didn't, whether they stole your dog and all your money, all the things, you've got to leave the waiting room. And you do that by building yourself an extraordinary life. You do that by picking up new hobbies, by asking yourself, what did I want to do when I was 18, 19, 20? Or what was I doing before my marriage? Or what was I doing in my marriage that I missed that I want to get back into? How do I want to use this life crisis, this initiation, let's call it, to pivot? How do you do that? Right? Yes, I was very blessed and went on a year-long project of writing and doing the Year to Live project, putting myself in all these crazy situations. And I get it. People may not be able to do that. I did that, though, specifically to get out of my headspace, out of my city, out of my friend group, onto the road, into new adventures, into new stimulus as a way to move forward in a powerful manner. And I get it. If you can't do that, though, you have to find ways to expand yourself, right? You have to get a fucking life. I don't mean that shamefully. You have to look at your life and say, okay, this thing happened to me. And guess what? I don't want you to bypass the pain, but shit happens to everybody. And there's an opportunity when shit happens to you to look at it as a tragedy or an initiation. And the actual definition, folks, of an initiation is a controlled death. So yes, your old life died. So your job now is to grieve it. Just like it was a person, you grieve it. You grieve it hard. You cry all the snot out. You sob on the floor. You punch the pillows. You do that for as many weeks and months as is necessary. Then you get yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you put your foot forward into building a new life. I'll use my own self as an example. I wrote my first book about it. That was part of the healing process. I published the book. Right? Started a movement, started a coaching practice, started a business, wrote a second book, went to workshops, traveled all over the world to work with teachers, joined groups, started a podcast, like this thing. Everything that you see that has uncivilized on it came from me rebuilding my life after it had felt like it got torn out from under me. Okay, what if you're like, but I like my life. You know, I have a great law practice. I have kids. I'm in good shape. I just have this one thing that happened. Like this woman, my husband had an affair and cheated and left and now is married to that person. What do I do? I think the advice is still the same. You grieve your ass off. And then at some point you make a specific conscious practice to build yourself up, to change your life in ways that weren't available while you were in the marriage. Make sense? You change your life in ways that weren't available to you in the marriage. I remember in the middle of my divorce, or early on in my divorce, having a woman, like, I was still working at the gym and I interviewed her to be a client. And afterwards she's like, well, I'll join this thing, but I really want to work with you. And so I had to tell her, like, well, I'm in the middle of a fucking divorce, so I'm probably not going to be here. And I'll never forget, she shot me this one line reply to an email that said, I'm divorced too, and I now get to express myself in a lot of ways that were unavailable to me in my marriage. That line, man, I think I sobbed reading it. I was also pissed reading it. So I was like, I don't want to express myself in ways that weren't available in my marriage. Now I say, I would get divorced 10 times over to be able to express myself now in all the ways that I wasn't able to in my marriage. And I hope that's the case for you. I hope you get to use this in the exact same ways. Right? We got to let go of that pain. We use the pain to a point. The pain of heartbreak is actual fuel, but at some point, it'll burn you alive. It's too fucking hot. You got to pick a new fuel source. And that fuel source can be love. That fuel source can be personal drive. That fuel source can be service. That fuel source can be, hey, I do want to lose 30 pounds. I do want to run that marathon. I do want to write that book. I do want to build that company. I do want to have a deeper relationship with my kids. I do want to explore a different realm of sexuality. I do want to explore a different realm of consciousness. I want to change my friend group. I want to change geographically where I live. Now, I tell you this, folks, because not only have I done it, but I know so many people, both men and women, whose lives have done complete 180s after a divorce, after betrayal, after heartbreak. And I get it. If that person is married to the person they cheated with and you have kids and now you have to interact with them because of the kids, that is just a dagger in your, that's like your face is being smushed in dog poop every day. And so you have a different avenue to walk and a harder avenue to walk. But it doesn't mean you don't get to make the same changes. You don't get to have the same transformation. And you don't get to look at your life and go, okay, I don't want this thing to happen. I didn't ask for this fucking thing to happen, but it happened. And so now I'm going to use it. That's my answer to what do you do when you wake up one morning and your spouse is gone. If you want to read the full story, I think I did a, like 91-day assignments and 91-day letters to someone who just lived through this in the book Today I Rise. It's on Amazon. Please get a copy of it. I make like 60 cents a copy, so I'm not pitching it to try to retire here. But it is a solid book. I've gotten amazing feedback from it, and I know it helps. So if you are going through this, my heart goes out to you. I've often said, like, I think I'd rather have my balls dipped in molten glass than go through heartbreak again. It's so awful. So my heart does go out to you, and please, please use this. All right, folks, if this episode helped you or you got inspired by it, please do me one favor. I have no ad in this. I'm not selling a course, not selling a workshop, not selling coaching in this one. Please just go to Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're listening to this, and leave me a review. And if you would also, please, if you think about this, if you know someone suffering, you know someone going through a divorce, you know someone going through a breakup, please either send them this episode or send them a copy of my book or send them both. All right, love you guys. Take care.